Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Thank you, Jay. Last week in our Bible study, we saw that human languages did play a key role in the establishment of the nations of our world. That happened 4,500 years ago after the worldwide flood of Noah's day. The Lord confused the one language spoken by everyone on earth, making many languages as the way that He would have everybody spread across the whole earth to follow His command to Noah, that they be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, or repeople the earth. Noah's grandsons would raise their families, teach them a new language, and move to somewhere on the earth to establish a nation. This week, we want to find out where Noah's grandsons went and what the nations they founded would be called today. This will help us to know which nations will be the key players in the end of days. You'll remember that Noah's son Japheth had at least five sons, and their names were Magog, Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarma. We can know where these boys went and established a nation, and in fact we can know the names of these nations. Please open your Bible to Genesis chapter 10.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Now notice the next verse, verse 6, and the sons of Ham. By the way, you know where Magog went to live? He took his family, went north of the Caspian and Black Sea. That's what we know as modern-day Russia today. Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarma, oh, they stayed south of the Caspian and Black Sea. That's the area we know as modern-day Turkey. If you go to Turkey, I've been there a number of times doing television programs in the seven churches and also in Istanbul. I picked up an ancient Turkish map on one of my visits there. And Turkey in biblical times was divided into four parts, Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, Togarma. And so that's where they went to live, south of the Caspian and Black Sea. And so we see prophecy doesn't start in the book of Ezekiel, the book of Nahum, the book of Obadiah, the book of Revelation. It starts in the book of Genesis. Here in verse 6, and the sons of Ham, this would be the second son, Cush, Mizraim, Put. Let me tell you who they are today. Cush, he went to the area that we know today as Ethiopia, Somalia, and Sudan. They have to have extra biblical studies, and there are books, there are resource materials that will assist you in this. Mizraim, well, that is the Hebrew name for Egypt. Put. Well, that's Libya of today. By the way, friends, this helps us to understand. Listen, Ishmael did not father the Arab world. Ishmael fathered one nation, Genesis 17:20. And I will make Ishmael the father of one nation. Genesis 25:18, he went to a place described in that passage of Scripture as Arabia. He established Saudi Arabia. 83rd chapter of Psalms, I think it's verse 6, says the Ishmaelites. Those would be the Saudi Arabian people. Ishmael did not father the Arab world. He fathered one nation. Let me prove that very easily for you. In chapter 16 of the book of Genesis, it talks about Sarai not being able to have children. So she gave her handmaiden to Abram in order that he might be able to have a son. And that handmaiden's name was Hagar, an Egyptian handmaiden. Is there a medical doctor in the house? Hold your hand up just a second. Medical doctor right here. May I ask you a question? Can a son father his mother? Okay, we got the absolute authority speaking here. A son cannot father his mother. How do you think Egypt came into existence if Ishmael was the father of the Arab world? Because his mother was an Egyptian. Pay attention to what the word says. I'm talking here about a group of nations. Do you hear what I said? Ethiopia, Somalia, Sudan, Libya, Egypt. They're all Arab countries. Guess what? They were around 500 years before Ishmael ever came on the scene. He's over in the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. Abraham wasn't even on the scene when this all happened. So Ishmael did not father the Arab world, neither did Abraham father the Arab world. We use a lot of bad terminology. We got to be biblical. Abraham is not the father of all the Arabs. Let's continue to read. Verse 8. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be mighty one on the earth. That's who I wanted to introduce to you. I want to introduce to you the king and his kingdom. The king and his kingdom. This king will have a protege who's going to be, as Nimrod was 4,500 years ago after the flood, one of the major players. In the end times, his protege will be a major player in that time called the tribulation, the seven-year period of time between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus Christ. In this seven-year period of time, 16 chapters in the book of Revelation with description of all the details, we will see Nimrod and the kingdom he established, the major players for these. We'll explain as we go through, so hang on. Nimrod, I've just shown you his ancestry. He comes from Noah through Ham, through Cush, and he's a great-grandson of Noah. See, Ham's the son, Cush the grandson, Nimrod the great-grandson. And he comes on the scene. What an unbelievable, excellent ancestry. Nimrod comes on the scene. Let me show you his aggressiveness. Verse 9. Verse 9, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, where it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, I've got to be honest with you, folks. That has been a very difficult passage in years past for me to understand. Why would God include with his scripture here information about the recreational activities of the guy named Nimrod? He was a hunter. So what? Why is that written in scripture? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, so I had to figure it out. What is it? I think I finally figured it out. You know, when you think about hunting today, is Nimrod, does he go out and shoot turkeys? Or is he a duck hunter? Or maybe he's a deer hunter. But what made Nimrod a mighty hunter? Let me tell you what I think he hunted. And by the way, I was just at the Creation Museum just out of Cincinnati. Ken Ham's Creation Museum. If you've never been there, you've got to go. They have a person there in a display that agrees basically with what I'm saying. I believe Nimrod hunted down and killed most of the dinosaurs. A Harvard University professor has just written a major paper on that exact theme, that the dinosaurs were wiped out by people hunting them down. And I believe that's what the book is talking about when it says Nimrod's a mighty hunter before the Lord. How do you think he got all of humankind, all of the world's population, to follow him? Don't you remember before the flood, dinosaurs were vegetarians. After the flood, they were meat eaters. And when the flood is over and these people start to populate and repeople the earth, they had to deal with these dinosaurs, these major giant creatures. You know the dinosaurs were on the ark, do you not? Of course they were on the ark. Two of every kind went on the ark. Now, let me just tell you this. I seriously believe Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, took care of the dinosaurs. You know where Nimrod and everybody went? They went towards the desert. The mountains of Ararat was a cold, wintery style of season, even during the summer. So they went to, how do I know that? Well, look over here in verse 10. I've just showed you his aggressiveness. Let me show you his ambition and where he's going to go. Verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom. Now notice what that means, folks. This is a kingdom that's set up. The first one was set up in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 1, which we know as the city of Jerusalem. That's a major city in the end times. The second one was set up at Babel. It's right here, it says, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel on the shores of the Euphrates River in the lands of Shinar, the two river cities. That's the Tigris and Euphrates. And on the shores of the Euphrates River in what we know as modern day Iraq, Nimrod's ambition was to become a king of a kingdom. And that is a prototype for what's going to happen in the end times. Let me say this. Nimrod had a very interesting rise to power, but he had a religious portfolio as well. Because he didn't like what God had told him to do. He was going against what God told him to do. Look at chapter 11, verse 4. Look at chapter 11, verse 4. He goes to Babel. He establishes this city. God said to be fruitful, multiply, and repeople the earth. Verse 4. And they said, go to, let us build us a city. That's his kingdom. Notice what he says. Let us build us a city. But then notice what he says. And a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. What did Nimrod do? Nimrod went and he established a religion. He had a religious portfolio. He understood, as a great hunter, I can gather them together, but I've got to keep them together. And what will do that? Religion. So he establishes a religion. What did he say? Let us build us a tower whose top may reach into heaven. I want you to know the truth. That's the last place he wanted to go, truly into heaven. But he was setting up a religious. The obelisk, this tower that he's building, is a symbol of religion. Notice what he says after that. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the earth. Now, that's not talking about being popular. Who's he going to be popular in front of? I mean, there's nobody else in the world. They're all living at Babylon. So it's not talking about popularity. It's talking about a religion. Let us make us a name. We don't like the name Jehovah God. We're going to call him Marduk, the Babylonian God. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the earth. Jehovah God wants us to scatter. We'll get us a God who will do what we dictate for him to do, lest we be scattered upon the whole earth. Extra biblical information. My source is Dr. John Walvoord, the late Dr. John Walvoord, who was president of Dallas Theological Seminary, chancellor, and one of the great scholars, biblical scholars, as it relates to Bible prophecy. In his commentary on the book of Revelation in chapter 17, he deals with this issue. Here's what happened. Nimrod had a wife. They got married. Her name was Semiramis. So Nimrod and Semiramis, husband and wife, had a child. His name was Tammuz. In light of developing this religious portfolio, Nimrod brings his family, had a family connection, into it. And he brings Semiramis and Tammuz to be the co-recipients of worship. A mother-son cult established 4,500 years ago as a religion. Now, one of them, Semiramis, is not mentioned by name. She's mentioned by title in the Bible. Her son, Tammuz, the son of the mother-son cult, is mentioned by name.
Indeed, the title of the mother of the mother-son cult, the false religion, started at Babylon 4,500 years ago, is found in the Bible. Also, the name of the son of this cult is mentioned in the scriptures. This information that we receive from a study of God's Word on this matter helps us to determine the prophetic truth that can be found in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, is the prophecy of a worldwide false religion that will be prominent in the first half of the seven-year tribulation period that takes place right after the rapture of the church. Next week in our Bible study, we'll find out from the Holy Scriptures this information which is needed for understanding of additional studies in Bible prophecy. You don't want to miss our next program. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of our Bible study this week.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...